Seated. Thank you, Janelda. We really appreciate your leadership there and to help us along in our worship. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 6. As we approach these last few verses in Ephesians, there's a whole lot of stuff here, and so I am not going to deal with all today. I'm going to cover about three verses, actually. And then we're going to be having a break because Andrew's here next week. The next week is Palm Sunday. The next week is Easter. And then the day after the trucker breakfast, Dan Christians from Maple City is going to come and speak in our service. And his family will be with us as well. And so it will be a little bit before we get back and just finish off these verses. And so today it's sort of an introduction to the issue of Christian warfare. So I feel it's important for us to just look at the flow of Ephesians and recap that once more. We've been looking at the fact that the first part of Ephesians really has to do with bringing us to the point where we say, how blessed I am. And in our hearts, there's the appreciation for salvation and the Holy Spirit who lives in and all the blessings and of the inheritance of the Christian that God has for us and the ability with God's help to live this life. So appreciation ought to begin within our hearts because our minds have been influenced by truth. And then that led us to chapter 4 through chapter 6, verse 9, where we talked about, well, what must I do if God has been so good to me? And the issue of making adjustments in my life became an issue in these chapters. The issue of us remaining in unity, being useful for God's purposes, but also being a unique people, distinct, so that people know the difference between our lives and the lives of others who do not yet know Jesus. And so we talked about putting off the wrong things in our lives and the taking on of the good characteristics. Really, the point would be to become more like our Lord Jesus. And then we come down to today, and the key thought here is, how can I stand? And this is a big issue because we live in a world where the values of this world are often in conflict with the values of a believer. And so today we're going to talk about why that is. But as a believer, I need to learn to plant my feet and to stand faithful to God, stand victorious over sin, not allow myself to be captivated by something and drawn in, and then I end up falling in defeat in a sinful behavior, whether it's in action or in attitude. So today we're going to talk about this spiritual warfare, but the big gist of Ephesians is we really need to grow up spiritually and become more like our Lord Jesus. And this is what we mentioned in chapter 4, verses 12 and 13, where he mentioned that we might experience all the fullness of Christ. That means we might be like him and grow to love him. And then we come to chapter 6 here in verse 13, where he wants us, as Janet read, to stand. One of the things that goes through my mind, because sometimes I try to stand way back and say, what's really going on here? And part of the question to me is, what's in Paul's mind? And if you look down in verse 20, this might be a little clue. See, he says, I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare the gospel fearlessly as I should. He wasn't asking him to pray for his deliverance at this point, but rather where God had brought him at this point in his daily life, in chains, in a Roman prison, having a guard standing right close by or even sometimes attached to him, chained to him. Obviously, the captivity was a daily thing that he was living with. And so when he comes to this portion of Scripture, part of what's going on is that he pictures that armed Roman soldier. Now, we wanted to put a picture of that up, and there he is. And you see his armor. And when Paul sees this day after day, I believe that what's going on is that he sees that there is a bridge of understanding between the soldier's purpose to stand and the Christian soldier's purpose to stand. One is the Roman government, the soldier appointed to represent the crown, standing against the enemies of Rome. In the Christian sense, it's the believer in Jesus, the Christian soldier, standing against the forces of evil and not being overcome. And so this is an illustration that Paul has to get us to appreciate the need to put on the full armor of God. And that statement was mentioned twice here in verse 10 and also in verse 13. To put on the full armor of God so that we can stand against the schemes of the wicked one. And we're going to talk about that in a few minutes. Interesting, almost 40 years ago when we were in Blenheim in Northern Ontario, actually before I was married, I think, I was speaking at a Legion service on Remembrance Day, and I was standing outside the Legion with a number of Legionnaires around. It was snowing and blowing like mad. I mean, I had a parka on and everything, and everybody was like, okay, let's keep this moving. But they asked me to speak at this Legion thing, and so I did for 5 minutes or 7 minutes, but I can remember what I talked about. I talked about the necessity of a soldier having strength, stamina, and sacrificing himself for his country. And after that meeting, a veteran came up to me right there in the parking lot where we spoke, and he said, I don't understand. Like, how do you know what we went through? And at that moment, you know, it's one of those God moments, I just said, well, you were a soldier of the crown. I'm a soldier of the cross. And he got it, just like that. Strength, stamina, sacrifice. So there is a point in which Paul was very true to his environment and to the people of his time who understood seeing Roman soldiers all the time. And Paul was likely chained near one or to one who that was guarding him. And so part of what he wants us to do is to get that picture. Do you see? And then gradually here, he's going to take each piece of the armor and say, this stands for this in the Christian life. Okay, so this is part of what's going on in this text. So first of all, verse 10, it says here, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. And I would say that thinking of what Paul's thinking about, this refers to the soldier's perspective. And I put it this way. The soldier can say, I have seen the mighty power of God. So the Christians of that day, they, if we go back to, for instance, chapter 1, verse 19 through 22, he speaks of the mighty power of God, the same power that was able to take Jesus and rise him up from the dead and place him in heavenly places and overcome the wicked one and be the head of the church. That's the Jesus that we worship. And the Christians of that day understood that God was bigger than the death bully. Jesus was alive. He had been resurrected. He is ascended. He is seated at the right hand of God, his Father. He is the King, and he is victorious. He is the conqueror over death and hell and Satan. And in the mind of the believers in that day, they understood what the mighty power of God was. And so Paul is saying to us, you know, I've seen this power. And one of my great verses, Hebrews 2, says that when the purpose of Jesus was this, he became human like us so that through his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those of us who all of our lives are held in slavery by the fear of death. And so that's how victorious Jesus is. He destroyed the devil, and he did it on the cross. In Colossians, you'll see that as you note the reference, chapter 2 and verse 15. This is historical. It happened. It's documented in our Bibles. So when he says here to be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power, he knows what he means by that mighty power because they've seen it literally. They've seen Jesus overcome the biggest enemy we could have, which is death itself. And in the revelation of God, he's made known that he defeated Satan and he disgraced him publicly by triumphing over him through the cross. And so Paul sees that. And so what he's saying is, I've seen the mighty power of God. That is the foundation of my faith, my peace with God, my assurance, and my worship. And for us too, right here this morning. Why is it that we gather in this building in the name of Jesus to worship? Because he is Lord. Philippians chapter 2. That's exactly who he is. And that fact is in our minds. It has made its way to our heart. And we overflow in song and worship and surrender and so on. Because we've seen. It's not a blind faith. It's a faith based upon what has been seen. And for us who weren't there, based upon what is written. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. So that would be one aspect. The second statement I would make is that if we've seen the mighty power of God, then in my life, I need to surrender to it myself. And that means I need to know the strength that comes from being in the Lord, a strength which is beyond me, that has proved that God is able to help me overcome my weakness, which often is revealed because I slip into sin easily. And so I need this God who overcame sin on my behalf to strengthen me every day so that I stand as a Christian and I'm not sucked into my weaknesses because of my bent. We still have a bent, even as a Christian, we are bent towards sin. And it can just happen in a moment. Or we can be worn down and we give in and we're tempted and we don't block it. We kind of start flirting with it. And if we're not careful, we're all of a sudden far into a sin, farther than we ever thought we would ever discover ourselves. And even Christians can be addicted to a sin. And we sometimes use the word demonized. I don't know if it's a Christian word or not, but the influence of demons trying to weaken us and wear us down, and so that we're not a soldier standing, but rather we are weak. And Paul says, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. I've seen what that power can do, and you need to surrender in your individual lives to that power. In chapter 3, verses 16 to 20, in that prayer, Be strong in the Lord, and I pray that God will strengthen you in the inner man by His Spirit. And so it's the Holy Spirit who brings about that strength in our heart so that we are able to stand like our Lord Jesus. And we talked in chapter 5, verse 18, about being filled with the Holy Spirit, being under His control. So this is a continual act of being strengthened. It's an attitude of being strengthened, putting faith in God. And often when I have described in the past, what does it mean to put faith in God? I think it sounds sort of like this. If God asks me to do something or tells me not to do something, then I need to say, I can't, but you can, so I give you permission. Because the strength to overcome is not in me. And in Philippians 2, 12 and 13 that we looked at a couple weeks ago, it says that it is God who works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And surrender really is, if we're confronted with a weakness that we're having a problem with, or we need strength in a certain situation to stand faithful to God, upright and in righteousness and not compromising with sin, I need to say, God, this sin is bigger than me. I can't overcome it. But I know that you have and you can help me. And so I surrender to you. And I ask that you begin working in my heart so that my will is changed, my attitudes are changed, and I have the strength through the Holy Spirit to say no to that sin and to say yes to that act of righteousness. So when Paul says, be strong in the Lord and His mighty power, he's seen what it can do. But now it has to become personal. And we all need to have it become personal because we live right here. And we need to surrender to that. So the point is that God can strengthen me. He can enable me and help me along the way. So that's the apostles. That is to be our perspective, the same as it was Paul's perspective. God is so big. Look at what He's done. God can help me. Please, God, I give myself. I ask that You strengthen me. So that's the first aspect of considering spiritual warfare. Secondly, we see what a soldier's purpose is here. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. And then if you just go to verse 13, therefore put on the full armor of God, as I said the second time that said, so that when the day of evil comes, you are able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, because it may be a long, gruesome haul against sin, to stand firm then. Four times he uses that word stand. And so let's just look at this a little bit. The purpose of the soldier is to stay on his feet, to remain standing. And that's a stance in this context of defensive. In other words, I'm going to read in a minute, he's not here doing anything except he's braced and his feet are planted and his armor is fully on. Do you notice he's not turning and running? In other words, he's not turning his back on his enemies. The armor is face on. But his purpose, really, is to stand and to defend himself against the enemy that could want to take him down. And so in Christian circles, the issue is, as we face the foe and as we engage the foe, we want to stand firm, and that means upright or in uprightness. We want to certainly be alive and not give in to sin and the discouragement and the disheartened. As James MacDonald says, you choose to sin as a believer, you choose to suffer. And the attitude of being defeated again, you can get into that cycle. And we want to stand firm and not be knocked down as a Christian. So that is our purpose. Our purpose also needs to be responsible to put on the full armor of God. I was thinking of a hymn, and some words in some of our hymns I don't understand sometimes, so I have to look them up. But the panoply of God. There's a hymn that we're going to do next time when we talk about this called Soldiers of Christ Arise. And it says standing in the panoply of God. And it means the full armor. I am fully clothed as a soldier. I don't leave off one piece. I need all the pieces on so I can stand firm. And in that same hymn it talks about leave no unguarded place. Or fortify the whole. Don't leave a place where Satan can get in and attack us in that place of weakness. And be sure of this. He's been around a long time. He's seen a lot of weakness. He's seen a lot of Christian weakness. And He knows just exactly where our weaknesses are. And He, with His fiery darts, shoots at that, trying to get through the armor and to get us in a spot where we give in and we fade and we're weakened. And our purpose is to stand. And our purpose is to make sure, because here we're told twice, you put on the armor. God provides it, every piece of it, but we are to be the ones who put it on. Like when He uses the term the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, it is our responsibility to know what this book says and to know where I need to go when I need help with certain temptations, and to say, God, help me to obey You in this matter, and Satan, You need to take a hike. I am going to stand. But unless we know truth, then that sword is useless. You may have a sword, but it's no good at home in the closet. The sword is really no good in its sheath. When I'm being attacked, the Word of God needs to be active in my life. And if I don't know how to skillfully use the sword, I am a weak soldier. I am not trained. Hebrews 4 and 5 speaks of being trained by the use of the Word of God. And so that's just one little example of me having to take responsibility for me knowing my Bible. So I know what God says about lying, or God says about stealing or adultery, or I need to just know what it says and why it says it, and the suffering that comes if I allow Satan to get a little bit of a temptation through and weaken me in that area of my life. If I'm not careful, I'm going down and I'm not going to be able to stand. So His purpose is to stay on His feet upright, but also I need to make sure that I have the discipline of putting that armor on all the time so that I will not be subject to those little things that can get between the pieces of my armor in my life and begin to weaken me. This is God's will for me. And so the soldiers of Christ need to stand. The armor is provided by God, and the armor is a combination of spiritual realities or truths that protect and enable us to stand upright with God. Someone wrote this: the present picture is not of a march or of an assault, but of the holding of the fortress of the soul. Good picture. And of the church. Because if one of us are weakened, it influences the whole body. If one organ, if we go to another picture, is attacked, it just goes everywhere. And it wears us down. I have laid in day surgery a time or two, and as I'm laying there and I'm thinking of my own pain, I hear this person talking about, well, my ear is hurting, and this person, my toe is so hurt, and this person, my back, and my stomach. And it doesn't matter where we're being attacked, but it all wears us down. And Paul's saying that my purpose is to keep standing, so I need to put the armor on, and then also here, to be ready to stand when the day of evil comes. So we're in a spiritual battle, and even one of those four words that are used for stand, one of them is the word in the Greek, withstand. It's not only plant your feet, but I'm braced. I am withstanding evil when it comes my way. And I am, later on, it's going to say, be self-controlled and alert, because your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So it's not just feet planted, but I am braced, and oh, here comes this temptation, and I'm going to use my shield here, and no, that can't happen. I can't think about that, and I shouldn't look at that, and I shouldn't be tempted to go in that direction and take someone's head off, and you know where I'm going. Satan is a master at trying to get at our weakness, and so the battle means that I am going to withstand evil. And it's evil in active opposition. That's what he's referring to here. So let's just move on. And we're going to talk about the soldier predator. Because in verse 12, he says that we need to stand against the evil schemes of the wicked one. And so Satan is the one that we stand against. And I see our time is ongoing here. And so I'm just going to mention that he is the devil. He's a created angel who rebels against God. And he wants to be God, and so he's God's arch enemy. Let's just say that when you talk about the schemes of the wicked one or the devil, it refers to the fact that he is very subtle. And we know that from his temptation of Adam and Eve and so on. The devil in John 8 is called a deceiver, and he's called a liar. He blinds the minds of those who don't know Jesus so they won't believe. If we're not careful, he can deceive us as well. I would like Janelle's devotion on Friday night, because she talked about the fact, because we were doing a lot of playing games. She talked about the danger of us feeling like we're a loser. Satan is called the accuser of the brethren or the brothers. And if he can make us feel like a loser, like, what does it matter that Jesus rose again? That was so many centuries ago. And how big a help can God be anyway? And I'm not sure I can really believe this. And if God really understood what I was going through, and Satan just says, particularly when we give into a weakness, look at you. God can't use you. You're weak. You're washed up. You're a loser. He's the accuser of the brethren. That's one of his big tactics. So Satan is very subtle. We're also in a spiritual battle in our hearts, in our minds, in our beliefs, and in our faith, because of Satan is attacking spiritual truth. And we need to stand against that and not listen to his messages. Also, Satan is very sinful. It talks here about the forces of evil on the day of evil in this dark world. And so we have a great enemy, and he is very wicked. He wants to destroy us. Let's just think of 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 9, I believe it is, where I quoted a minute ago. Be self-controlled and alert, because your enemy, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He wants to kill us. He wants to hurt us, to knock us off our feet, to knock us off our game, to get us to be weak spiritually and to be useless because we're fighting with one another, and he wants to disrupt the team, and he doesn't care. And often the way he does it, he uses loudness. Look at you. You folk are totally useless. You're weak. Someone gave in to sin among you, and surely God can't forgive. And no, not that Jesus being more powerful than Satan. That's for the bird. You guys are antiques. Satan is a subtle and a spiritual, but a very sinful enemy. And so in order for us to stand, we need to make sure that we put on the full armor. We're going to talk next time about what that armor is, but we know it's to protect us, and God has provided it. And it's important for us to face the foe and to be ready. That's what God wants us to do. Let's take our last hymn together, having to do with the strength that God gives to us. Praise the Savior, ye who know Him. Good. I'm trying to look at my watch. I thought it was earlier than it was when I started. It's the time change. I'm going to blame it on that, okay? So I didn't mean to go Pentecostal on you again, George. But these are great truths that we're talking about. And may God give us wisdom to realize that it isn't just that it isn't a flesh and blood fight. Satan is trying to instigate among us in Ephesians, like in the relationships of the church. He doesn't want us to be in unity. He certainly doesn't want us to be useful, so he's going to attack that. And then in the home, husbands and wives, or parents and children, or in the workplace, those are the battlegrounds where sometimes we just need to shake ourselves and say, what is going on here? And we're told that it's spiritual forces in heavenly realms that are on the attack, trying to get us defeated in our own lives, in our homes, in our workplace, so that our influence is nil. And if the attack is being stepped up, it's a sign that we have learned to stand and we're doing something right. All those who will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, Paul writes. And whatever that persecution looks like, the reality is we need God's help. Be sure to sign up for the Good Friday breakfast. The sign up is out by the mailboxes. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I can't, but you can, and you did. And in me, I give you permission. Help us to be surrendered to your mighty power that enables us to be the kind of people that you want us to be. Victorious soldiers. In Jesus' name, amen.